Would you all please pray with me? Lord, we are thankful that we can be here today. There are many who would like to be here, but because of illness, they cannot. And so, Lord, we pray for them, for their healing. Lord, we understand that you are a God of mercy and a God of grace. We thank you for the grace that we receive every day from you, receiving the things that we do not deserve. Lord, keep us from pride. Help us to be faithful, humble servants wherever we go. Lord, I pray for our country, that our country would be obedient to your word. We pray for our leaders, that they would fully understand that one day they will give an account for the position that you have given to them, and that this would sober them to lead the people well, to protect us well, to serve this country well. Lord, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in this country once again. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to focus now on your word, to listen intently. I recognize that some have come here this morning to hear a word, the word of God. Others have come here to hear a word from God. So, Lord, I ask once again that you would speak through me. For I understand, and you have made it clear, that you love those who sit before me. And, Father, you have given me the privilege to teach. Now, Lord, help me to do so diligently. Speak through me. And, Lord, we promise to obey. We ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer changes nothing. The pastor who said this stunned his congregation. He could see that they were stunned, and he had done it on purpose, and so he said it again. Prayer changes nothing. The pastor who said this was the well-respected author and pastor Donald Gray Barnhouse, who is now with the Lord. He was making a point to his congregation. The point he was making was on the sovereignty of God. That God is sovereignly in charge, and that he is bringing all things together according to his shape and his form. And so he brought out the point that what makes us think that one little prayer by one puny human can change what God is doing in the world today. Now, while that might be true, there is another truth that we must recognize here. God is shaping history sovereignly. We know that. But he is using you. And he is using me. God has a plan for your life. And he has provision for your life. God answers prayer. I want you to think of his plan and his provision this way. Assume with me for a moment, or dream with me for a moment, that a philanthropist opens up a checking account, puts $1 million in that checking account, and puts your name on that checking account. You now have a checking account with $1 million in it. That makes you a millionaire. There is great potential there, isn't there? Some of you would like me to just to hang on that for a minute. That's a nice thought, isn't it? There is a great reserve being held for you in your name, but you won't get a lick of good or benefit out of that until you learn that by faith, you must write out a check and cash that check. Now you are tapping into that resource. I want you to realize that God has opened up an account for you in heaven. The Apostle Paul says it this way. God has blessed you in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing. It's already there. That's Ephesians 1:3. And so God has opened up an account for you held in heaven. How do you get those blessings? How do you bring those blessings, that account, down to earth to be used today? That's what we're talking about. You do it through prayer. That's how God impacts, that's how heaven impacts earth, is through the provision that He has given you, and then He expects for you to call that down to be used here. And so the subject this morning is praying according to Jesus' instruction. You'll notice that I've entitled this, Prayer That Works. Does that mean that we have a magic formula? No. What it means is, if you want to know what kind of prayer works, why don't you go to the Master and ask Him what kind of prayer works? And that's what we're looking at today. Instruction from Jesus on prayer. If you would, please open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 will be in verses 1 through 13. In Luke chapter 11, we're going to pick out 4 points, actually 3, and then the fourth is an application. We're going to pick out first the pattern of prayer. These are all P's, so they'll be a little bit easier for us to remember. And so first we'll look at the pattern of prayer, then the persistence in prayer, third, the promise of prayer, and then fourth, the premise of prayer. And so first, the pattern of prayer. Read with me, if you will, Luke chapter 11, the first 4 verses. Luke records, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after He had finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, I understand that this is a much shorter version than what we normally recite on Sunday mornings. Some believe that Luke wrote this first and then Matthew elaborated on it. We don't know for sure. I can assure you that this would be a complete sermon, if not multiple sermons itself. But this morning, I want to go a little bit broader with this, and I want to go all the way up to verse 13, because we learn something about prayer that we normally don't think about. And so the first thing I want you to realize is that for some reason, the disciples at that point asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Had they noticed, possibly, this is conjecture on my part, had they noticed that Jesus prayed something, then something happened? Did they notice the power in prayer? Teach us to do that. There's no other place in Scripture where I see the disciples asking Jesus to teach them. But here, they ask Him, would you please teach us how to pray? Now, we know that Jesus would pray, get up early and pray and go off all by Himself. We know that He would pray throughout the day. It's recorded in the Gospels. We know that the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing, which the word there would give us the idea of like a hacking cough throughout the day we're praying. So we know that this is important. How often do you pray? Who to pray to? The people often ask me, who do you pray to? Is there kind of like a categories here? Like certain things we take to the Holy Spirit, certain things we take to Jesus, certain things we take to God? I don't know. I will tell you this. My answer has always been the same. I go by Jesus' example, and He said, pray to the Father. Does that mean you can't pray to the Spirit? You can't pray to Jesus? No, I didn't say that. But I am saying that Jesus said, pray to the Father. So what if you do pray to Jesus or the Spirit? Will they not answer? No, I don't think so. But I think it's wise to follow Jesus' advice. So personally, I pray to the Father. Does that mean that once in a while I say, oh, Spirit, give me wisdom here? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So I don't want to restrict you if you're in the habit of praying to the Spirit or to Jesus. Please hear me. I'm not saying stop. I'm saying keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Okay? What to pray? I want you to notice here, and I'm taking this in broad strokes on purpose, that Jesus, first of all, has two declarations. Hallowed be your name. Father, show yourself. Show yourself today. Your name be sanctified, holy, separate. And your kingdom come. The way I see this is an admission that God knows best. It's pretty difficult to come to God and say, you know, I'm not sure you know this one, but I'm going to pray it anyway just to be on the safe side. By faith, we need to come to God and say, I know you know, and I know your ways are right. And so I'm coming to you because you're righteous and you're just and you always know the right way. You always know the best way. And so I see this as an acknowledgement. And then with those two things, he says, reveal who you are, God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. We know that he is praying for that future time, that millennial kingdom that'll happen after the great tribulation. There'll be 1,000 years on earth that Jesus will reign. If you've trusted alone in Christ alone, you will be there. Old Testament saints will be there. David, King David will be there. Moses will be there. And Jesus will rule for 1,000 years on earth, right here. That's the kingdom we're praying for. But we are also praying that God's ways be done now. And so I take this applicationally as, God, your kingdom come to the chapel. May your will be done here. May we push evil out. May we love each other, accept each other, forgive one another. May you be glorified in the chapel. May you be glorified in my family. You will note in his requests that he moves to next. Give us this day our daily bread. What he is doing is he's saying, you approach God that he has all the answers and has the right answers, and you approach him with humility and dependence. It's a little more difficult for us to do when our cupboards are full and our refrigerators are full. But that food all came from God, every bit of it. It's hard for us to pray like for manna every day. But we are to go to God humbly asking for daily provision. I take this applicationally as when I pray this, that God, I'm asking you not only for my physical needs, food today, but emotional strength and spiritual wisdom. Give us this day our daily bread. I want you to notice that the personal pronoun, us, you can pray, give me. But it's also give us. This is a kind of a corporate prayer, but it can be prayed alone. You know that. This is something that is often prayed liturgically. We do that every Sunday morning. We all pray that. But this prayer is much more than that. This is a prayer that is giving you themes to pray to or to pray for. Things to ask God for. Things to praise Him for. And so it's much more than just repetition, although it's good to repeat it word for word. But it's much more than that. It's a model. It's a pattern given by the pattern maker, Jesus. And so the requests are for physical, emotional, and spiritual strength. And lead us not in temptation gives a lot of people difficulty. James tells us that God won't tempt us. So what's with this? The idea here is, God, keep us from ourselves and keep Satan from us. We're led apart, we're led away or astray by our own evil desires. We know that. Please give us wisdom. Lead us away from that. When we start heading towards that sin, lead us away. That temptation, lead us away. When Satan tempts us, lead us away, God. That's what he's saying. And so the pattern I see here, big picture in this prayer, is that we must come to God with trust. Active trust. So many times we go to God and we pray and we get an answer and we say, you know, I'm not sure I heard him right on that. If we're not careful, we start treating God as one source. So let me ask somebody else. Let me go ask Pastor Jeff, see what he thinks. Let me ask Pastor Keith, see what he thinks. If God's giving you an answer, don't you dare go to any kind of flesh and blood. Do not confer with flesh and blood. You obey what God tells you to do. And so what happens is we treat God, if we're not careful, as a source to be considered. He is a source to be followed. You say it, I obey it. And so that's the pattern I see here. It's approaching God with ultimate trust. You say it, I obey it. Period. But more than that, Jesus continues, and we move to persistence in prayer. Look at verse 5. After telling them this prayer, Jesus said, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside, he answers and says, 'Don't bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Now, when Jesus told this story to the original audience, they understood what he was talking about. When we hear something like this, we think, give the guy a break. First of all, why are you going over to his house at midnight? You have a guest that came, a friend that came. Let him wait till the morning. Well, you can't get food at any time in this era, right? You all realize that 24-hour Walmarts were not around. 7-Eleven hadn't been thought of yet, and Circle K convenience stores weren't there. So there was no place to go and buy food. The other thing that we don't realize is that it was the moral obligation of the friend who was being visited to feed the visitor. It was immoral not to feed him. It was much more than just a favor. It was expected, and you would be spoken badly of. It was immoral not to feed him. So now, the one being visited has a choice. I don't have any food. I can either be rude to my guest, or I can be rude to my neighbor and go visit him at midnight. Well, he chooses to do the right thing by his visiting friend and go to his neighbor, who he knows is asleep. It's midnight. What's with the guy not wanting to get up and give him 3 loaves of bread? He said, "Don't give me, loan me. I'll pay you back." What is with that? Well, here's what we don't understand. Their homes were typically one-room homes. And so the living room was the bedroom. And so here's a man. They spread out a mat, and the whole family is sleeping in the same room on the same mat. And so you have mom, you have dad, you have sisters and brothers and the babies too. And maybe they just got that baby asleep. And you just know if you get up and stir around, you're going to wake everybody up. And if that doesn't wake them up, when you take the barricade out of that door, that for sure is going to wake everybody up. Go away. We've been trying to shut this baby up all day long, and he's finally asleep. Go away. But he keeps on. He's persistent. Don't miss the point. In verse 8. Jesus says, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, you can bet he's going to get up for his persistence. Sooner or later, this guy's going to realize, we're all awake now, none of us is getting any sleep until I give this guy 3 loaves. In essence, Jesus is saying, which one of you has the nerve to awaken your neighbor at midnight to do the right thing for a friend? It took a lot of nerve. Here's the point. The point that Jesus is making with this persistence is, if a reluctant friend will get up in the middle of the night to give you what you need, certainly a loving, willing father will give you whatever you need. That's his point. If a reluctant, sleepy friend who's greatly annoyed at you will get up and give you something because you're persistent, certainly a God who is willing and loving will give you everything you need. That's his point. Now, when you hear persistence, you think repetition. And I've had many people ask me on different occasions, if I keep praying the same thing, isn't that vain repetition? God said he hates that. Let's talk about that. You keep praying for someone to come to Christ, or you keep praying for the health of a friend, or maybe you have prayed for a relative for 20 years. Is that vain repetition? No. No, it's not. You see, in this culture, Romans and Greeks had their own way of praying to their false idols. What they would do is they would basically pray and use every complimentary name they could think of as they prayed to their idol. Basically flattery, buttering them up. Of course, you can be coerced by my flattery. And then they would also remind their false god of everything they had done, all the sacrifices they made. And Jesus, when he talked about vain repetition, was saying, God can't be coerced, and he's not indebted to anybody. That just doesn't work. Basically, sit down and shut up, because it ain't going to work. When you need something, be bold. Ask them. And so it's not vain repetition to pray for someone or something for years. And so we've looked at a pattern of prayers to absolutely trust God that he knows what he's doing. Persistence in prayer. If you miss everything else in this message, don't miss this. Never give up praying. What are you praying for? What have you been praying for? Where are you about to lose hope? Where are you about to give up? Don't give up. Keep praying. But I've been praying for 25 years and it hasn't happened. That's no time at all to God. Please don't give up. Don't stop. Never give up. Keep praying. Keep persevering. Keep trusting. Okay? Third, the promise of prayer. So we've looked at the pattern of prayer, persistence in prayer. And now in verses 9 through 13, the promise of prayer. Look at verse 9. And Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If then, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so here's the promise of prayer. The promise to give. Look at verses 9 and 10 again. I say to you, this does not give us a real good translation here. I say to you, here would be a more accurate translation. Keep on asking. That would be literal. It's a command, and it's written in such a way that you are to continue to keep asking. For you grammar buffs, it is a present imperative. It is continual. So we would translate that this way. You keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. Now, does Jesus not realize the problem you've had with prayer and you've been asking for something for a long time and it just hasn't happened? Is this really true? Does he not know? Yes, he knows. He's the prayer answerer. And he's telling you, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And now look at verses 11 and 13. The promise to give you the best. Verse 11. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? I think you all understand that a snake and a fish can look alike. So when a son asks a father, and note that he changes in his parable here, he changes from a son to a father, from one to a superior, from child to father. So when that child asks, a father would not trick him with something dangerous, would he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion. A large white scorpion could be mistaken for an egg. He won't give him a scorpion. If then you being evil, sinful, you know better, and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your father? So what if you ask amiss, and you're asking for something that's not good for you, but you don't know it? I've heard people say, oh, be careful. Be careful what you pray for. You might get it. Now I understand that, and I've had other people say, oh boy, don't pray for patience. You know what's going to happen. So I get that. I understand what they're saying. But I just want to add a little bit of a warning there. Be careful. Because when we say that, it's an indictment, can be an indictment on God. If you ask him for something, he might say, ah, this is going to be great. You ask for it, you're going to get it. And he might say, heavenly hosts all come in and laugh at you. No. No. The security of this is that he promises to hear you. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. If you're asking amiss, he'll give you better. And better might be a no. And better might be not that, but this. So, be bold. Be bold when you ask God. Go ahead, ask him. If it's not right, he'll say no. If it's not right for you, he'll change it to something that's better. But nowhere do you hear that Jesus is saying, don't ask. Stop asking. Stop being sinners. Stop asking for those things. He says, ask, seek, knock, persist, keep going. The promises are, I'll answer. Look again at verse 10. For why? Keep seeking, asking, knocking. Why? Verse 10. Because. For. Here's the reason. Everyone who asks receives. You're a child of God, you're going to receive. He hears you. I remind you, these are Jesus' words, and Jesus cannot lie. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Keep asking. And now at the end here, I want you to skip down to verse 13 again. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I thought when I trusted Jesus Christ, I got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you did. Was Jesus saying this before the cross or after he went to the cross? It's before. And so the Holy Spirit was not given until the day of Pentecost. Now, could the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was given to prophets and kings as God willed, and then he would take it back when he wanted to? Yes, but it wasn't to the day of Pentecost. that every believer is given the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what does it mean here? What Jesus is talking about here is God will give you the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has. In other words, He will give you direction and guidance and wisdom that only the Holy Spirit can guide you with. Does that make sense? I want you to think of this. A woman once went to a pastor, G. Campbell Morgan, and she said, you know, in a most pious voice, she told him, I don't bother God with the little things. I only ask Him for like the big things. That's really pious, isn't it? And G. Campbell Morgan looked back at her and he said, Madam, I assure you, everything you bring to God is a little thing. Ask. We get this idea that God is so busy running the universe that He does not want to be bothered by you. And yet He tells us to pray and to keep praying and to keep coming. Don't give up. Don't give up. And last, the premise of prayer. The premise of prayer, the basis of prayer, is Jesus Christ. You see, He said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Have you come to the Father through Jesus Christ? Have you come to a point in your life where you recognize, I've done a lot of wrong, and I'm not sure I'm going to heaven? Well, Jesus said, I will lay my life down for you. Have you trusted in Christ as your personal Savior? Have you come to a point where you recognize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior? Jesus is offering you salvation even right now. Have you taken advantage of that? Have you trusted in Christ? That's where this all gets started. When you become a child of His, when you trust alone in Christ alone as your only Savior, He answers your prayers. He guaranteed to answer the prayers of His children. And so, have you come to Jesus? If you have, then these words are for you. Until now you have not asked, and this is the words of Jesus again. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Keep asking. Keep going. So is that true that prayer doesn't change anything? I would argue that it does change something. It changes me. And it changes you. When you go to God in prayer and you hang out with God, He starts to change your heart. I want you to think of being on a little rowboat out to sea. And as it's pulling away from shore, you have a long rope with a hook on the end. And you throw that hook and it hits the beach. And it hooks in the beach. And you start to pull on a rope. Now, as you pull on that rope, are you pulling the shore closer to you? Or are you pulling yourself closer to the shore? You see, in prayer, we pull ourselves closer to God. We pull ourselves closer to Him, and He changes our heart. And He invites us into that abundant life that we will only experience with Him. You see, the pattern of prayer is that we must trust God as the only source. You say it, I obey it. The persistence of prayer, never give up. Never give up. The promise of prayer, God will hear you and He will do what is best. The premise of prayer is Jesus Christ. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Then these words are for you. If you haven't, God hasn't guaranteed that He'll answer your prayers. Draw close to the Father. He's waiting to hear from you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we all this week will throw that hook to the shore and pull ourselves closer to You. I pray that this week You would reveal to many here that You hear and give them that peace that You do hear, that You do care, that You love them deeply. You tell us in Your Word. You gave Your Son so that we could have a relationship with You. Won't You surely give us everything else we need? The obvious answer is yes. The hard part was giving Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that my brothers and sisters and myself, that we would pray and never give up. In Jesus' name, amen.